Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, Prospects Challenge this weekend in Buffalo at Lecom Harbor Center, and the schedule kicks off. Today's Thursday, right, Marty?
Today is Thursday, yes.
Okay, so I can officially say tomorrow. It is Boston and Pittsburgh at noon. We then have New Jersey, Ottawa, and of course the Sabres Prospects Challenge opener against Columbus at 7 p.m. All the games are streaming on Sabres.com. The Sabres will host the Devils on Saturday night at 7, and of course Pittsburgh on Friday afternoon. Is it 5 or 5:30? I can't read the small print.
It's five, right?
Five. All right, very good. Then with that, awkward, bumpy, rocky segue, let's bring in Darren Dreger. For the first time here in the month of September. Hi, Dregs.
How are you guys? Looking good as always.
We miss you.
Do you? Why? Look at that setup, Marty. That's impressive. You got the mask, the pads, the sticks,
Christmas
fake plants. You've got it all. Yeah.
I got it all. Yes. I'm actually continuing to work on adding pieces to it as we go. So, I don't have the liquor like you do behind you, Dregs, and all of that. I got to start adding more endorsements and put liquor everywhere. So that's the way to do it.
You have the Gemini Award?
No, I don't have the Gemini Award, but I see you'd like to put that one right over your shoulder so most people can see it.
There are New York State Emmys down here, Dregs, and I'm sure he's got plenty.
Well, yes, he does.
He's also got Sabre questions for you.
Yeah, you know what? Well, first of all, how was your summer? Because you traveled quite a bit this summer, I think. You went across Canada a few times, so how was your summer?
Yeah, not quite across Canada. We drive to Manitoba to our lake property, and then we basically pit in there for several weeks. And that's what we did again with the Great Dane, about a 30-hour, four-day drive. So got that done. Lots of fishing, lots of golf, a fair bit of relaxing, some bear spotting. We had a couple of bears come through our area, which is not unusual. So kind of standard fare. Was a good summer. Shot rate down. Did very little hockey work.
Okay, well, I'll ask you the tough question because one of the questions that people have asked on social media when it comes to the Sabres and getting ready for training camp is, what's going on with Peyton Krebs? He's not signed yet, and he's the last remaining player to not have a contract. So are you hearing anything? Let's go right out of the gate quick. Are you hearing anything on Peyton Krebs and how close or not close they are with the Sabres?
Well, I don't think that they're super close, which may be a bit disappointing, I guess. But from a club perspective, I think you can appreciate that. And I guess from a player standpoint as well, I think the view from the Sabres would be that Peyton doesn't have a whole lot of leverage, right? You know, he's coming off a down offensive year where he scored four times in 80 games. So there's not a whole lot of work there to negotiate with if you're Kevin Epp and the agent that represents Peyton Krebs. But I say that there is an appreciation from Buffalo Sabres that he can be an important piece. They like the player, but it's a business first. And so the expectation is that, he will accept one of the offers that has been presented. I don't know what the term is. I can't be specific to what the dollar is, but the club feels that they're in pretty good shape. They want him back. They want him in camp and ready to go for the start of the year because, with Lindy back in the mix, they feel like he's got a lot more to present offensively and defensively. And, he's got some experience that they can work with as well. But from the business perspective, obviously, the player thinks that he should be higher valued than what is being offered by the Sabres. So there's still some work that needs to get done.
So he's 23 years old, right? So you're looking at him and the fact that his qualifying offer was somewhere around the $875,000, so $875,000 on a one-year deal. I would think that probably still is on the table.
Yes.
But if he wanted a 2 or 3 year deal to try to have a little bit more stability, it's probably just over $1 million, right? And that's the thing. Like, which one do you like best? $875,000 one year or the $1.1 million for 2 or 3 years, right? That's probably what we're talking about in that scenario here. So, prospect challenge is starting too. you know, at this time of year, all the teams are usually talking about, oh, this guy has a chance to make the club, right? Like we just talked about Toronto, the team of the day. Easton Cowan could make the club. He's 19 years old. Who's a prospect in Buffalo? Our fans think Yuri Kulik is the number one, but who's the, you know, is Konstantelainis maybe one that could? Yuri Kulik, Isaac Roseanne, who's the guy that could make a splash if one rookie or a prospect makes the team?
Yeah, I mean, those three for sure. And I might throw in Anton Wahlberg as another potential candidate. You know, but it's up to those guys. You know, when you look at the three players that you mentioned here, they've got some pro experience. You know, the Sabres like the way that they've developed in the American League, but it's an opportunity and time for these guys to step up. And, you know, it's amazing how good a real solid training camp can do for an individual player, right? I mean, it's a small glimpse into what they might look like at the NHL level, but it proves, at least for the short term, that that player's put in the investment required in the offseason, getting stronger, getting faster, all of those things. But then that has to translate, you know, and you have to be able to make the jump from the American League and the numbers that you provided there and prior to that and your development ladder to being a promising, impactful player at the National Hockey League level. When you look at the roster of the Buffalo Sabres, how can there not be opportunity for these guys, right? I mean, you know, there's been investment in development and building, and I know the fan base needs the Buffalo Sabres to finally turn yet another corner. But I think the Sabres, for the most part, have drafted well. So those are the guys that are going to be pushing. But the message that I get from management is, yeah, they're pushing. And you want to see them take that next step in progression. But that has to start in training camp. It has to start in the preseason. Then it's got to continue into the regular season and beyond.
Do you think the opportunity is still the same for these young prospects after all the, you know, third and fourth line additions they made in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably limited, Duffer, in fairness, because you're right. When you look at the bottom six of the Sabres, they feel like they're faster. They feel like they're bigger. They feel like they're grittier in that bottom six. When you look at, who are we looking at? Lafferty, I guess McLeod and Zucker are three guys who are going to augment. So maybe it isn't as easy a lineup as it once was. But when you're looking at the players that we just talked about from a prospect basis, there's no rush. You know, no player has an owner's manual, but there is a level of expectation. And if these guys are going to play at the NHL level, maybe they have to be able to at least push into a top nine spot, or maybe be able to play up and down and push the guys in that top six as well. So you wouldn't look at the four guys that we've mentioned, say all four are going to make it. There just doesn't seem to be enough room for all four, but I would say two or three of these guys do have a rock solid chance, but they're going to have to earn it.
I think we're going to find out sooner than later on those prospects, because the Sabres will be heading over to Europe after just a couple of preseason games. The main group is heading over to Germany for a preseason game against Red Bull, and then staying over there for against, you know, in Prague to play New Jersey on October 4th and 5th. So it's not like, you know, by game 4, 5, and 6 of the preseason, you still have debate. Like, who's there? Like, if they go to Europe, maybe they get a better opportunity to be on the roster to start the season. That, to me, is going to be interesting. Let's talk goalie here, Dregs, and not Sabres goalie per se, but another team in the division who decided to trade one of their goalie to the Ottawa Senators, and now I've still not signed Jeremy Swayman.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Into a contract.
Yeah.
The word is, and I don't know if you're getting the same word I'm getting, the word is Boston's offering him about 6 and he wants 10. Yeah. Like, if that's the numbers that are being on the table right now, that's a big gap.
Cool. Keep it that way.
Exactly. Like, miss 2 months if you have to. Like, that's going to help the Sabres. But do you think those are the numbers? And if that is, that Jeremy Swayman will not be in camp and may not start the season with Boston?
Well, and that would be a shame for the Boston Bruins because they've clearly put all their eggs into one basket, and that's Jeremy Swayman. And, you know, when was it Cam Neely came out a couple of weeks ago and basically said that he believes it's going to get done. So is that a pressure push by Cam Neely on Swayman, on Jeremy Swayman, or is it on Don Sweeney, his general manager? I mean, take your pick in the position you want to go with here. I like that Jeremy Swayman has spent the offseason in Boston. He's been training and skating with his teammates, and in his view, he believes that he is a Boston Bruin, and the contract will find a way to look after itself. But, you know, again, there's a ton of work that reportedly needs to get done. Neither side is talking about it, so I'm kind of a little bit reluctant to dive into the low end of the numbers and the sixes and the high end as high as $10 million. You know, the Charlie McAvoy deal makes some sense, but then I look at it from a club perspective. And even though the sample size we have of Jeremy Swayman, you know, does provide evidence that he's the number one goalie in the NHL. He's the number one of the Boston Bruins, but how many games has he played as a starter? Like 140,
you know, he's got 132 games and never played more than 44 in a game.
So there you go. I mean,
I
can appreciate where Boston's management is coming from in trying to play hardball. They were hoping that they weren't going to have to give him the mega deal, that they would get the deal done in the mid sixes, maybe creep up to seven. But their leverage kind of went out the window when they traded Linus Ullmark to the Ottawa Senators, because now they're up against it. They still believe that they're a contending team. They're not a contending team if they don't have elite level goaltending, which I would argue that they do have in Swayman, but they don't have if they don't get the contract done. So I think something's going to get done, but I just don't know how.
Could they explore the deferred payment option with Jeremy Swayman? Because we've got that in Carolina. Like, if they want to make it work, but hey, let's save $500,000 on the cap. We'll deferred payments like, you know, they did in with Seth Jarvis in Carolina.
Okay, so therein lies the sample size again. We're talking about the Carolina Hurricanes here. Now, you guys are shrewd, savvy businessmen. Marty, wouldn't you rather have your money in hand to invest your money as opposed to, don't worry about it. You can pay me at the end of the contract. Well, are we so sure that you're going to get that money? I mean, okay, there hasn't been a team that's gone defunct in the National Hockey League in recent history. Why would the player do this? I don't understand why Jarvis did it. I really don't. And Slavin did it as well. From a business standpoint, I want my money to invest my money as I see fit. And if this becomes something that moves forward and it becomes more commonplace in the NHL, I kind of think that the National Hockey League is going to crack down on it in the next collective bargaining agreement, because in a way you could build a case that it's cap circumvention, and you're not getting huge cap relief, but you are getting some. And then also there's a taxation issue, as I've kind of done a little bit of research on this. You know, in certain environments, you're taxed on money earned. So it doesn't matter whether or not you're getting that money at the end of the contract or you're getting it now. You're still paying that level of tax in a certain situation. So it doesn't make a lot of sense based on some of the agents I've talked to.
I'm imagining you taking accounting courses through the next 6 months to make sure we have everything in order at the trade deadline. So, but I'm super interested in it, but I don't want to go too far down the path. So we can save that for another day. Are there any PTOs that the Sabres might be interested in, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge, no. Not to say that they wouldn't be, but we kind of covered all that, right, with the work that they did in their bottom six and the fact that they've got these good young players who are vying for a spot. But, I mean, you never know. It's still early in the PTO season. It is, and we're seeing guys that are signing these PTOs on a day-in and day-out basis, which isn't unusual. It's that time of year, but – you know, who did I read who's still out there?
JVR?
Yeah, that one surprises me a little bit because, man, he was really good in Boston last year. He was. I'm a bit surprised that he's up. Phil Kessel is another one, right? Right. Kessel less surprising, to be fair, but
sure.
Yeah, I think we'll see some of those trickle in the next 5 days to a week, but nothing that I've heard from Kevin Adams of the Sabres.
Did you get any bar fights in the Canadian prairies throat this
punch,
summer?
Any throat punch this
summer? No throat punches. No, it was pretty calm and quiet. I mean, there's no incidents willing to talk about. No.
Any hole-in-ones in your golf adventures?
Go.
Because we had Sabres alumni golf tournament, Jordy Robertson.
Wow.
Hole in one.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, so that was fantastic.
Tell Drake's the prize Jordy got.
He got a dozen golf balls because it was the closest to the pin hole.
Yeah. Was it the hole in one hole?
It wasn't the hole in one hole. It was the closest to the pin. So he won a dozen golf balls.
So here's a bizarre reality. So I'm going to take you back to the Lake of the Prairies. Prairie Lake Lodge is an executive 18 hole par three. Okay. The longest hole is like 180 yards. The shortest is like 70. My neighbor at Lake of the Prairies, Doug Haberstock, hit his 12th hole in one this summer. I was there for his 11th last summer. His 12th hole in one at this place.
Okay, but if you only play par threes.
Like, it still counts, Marty. It still counts.
It still counts, but the odds are better than playing like four of them, in a round.
Well, how many holes in one have you had?
Zero.
Wow.
And you want to know the funny thing, though? Duffer has one. My brother has one. We were just recalling. I saw my brother a month ago. We were recalling his hole-in-one because his son didn't know that he had gotten a hole-in-one. He said it was his first round of the year in Quebec City 1 year. In April, late April in the spring, it was raining sideways. He bladed an iron that like literally went 50 yards straight, then rolled, went through the bunker, out, rolled onto the green and into the hole. That's his hole-in-one.
You don't have to draw pictures, buddy. You don't do not. There's no room for illustrations on a golf card.
He put a one and that's all it is. You're right. That's a
this is not a one and done, right? Drags, you're back in a regular rotation with us, I hope.
I think so. Sure. Okay, as long as you'll have me back, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I just didn't know if we offended you right off the hop here today.
Not you guys.
All right. Good to have you back.
Because others have done it, but not us. That's good.
You guys have a great weekend.
Sounds good, Dregs. We'll see you next week. There he is, Hockey Insider from TSN, Darren Dreger. We wrap Sabres Live after this.